This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Look out now into your imaginary future. Whatever you see yourself doing in retirement, fishing, spending time with your grandkids, or just relaxing. Reality is, it takes money and a dedicated financial plan. We asked Liz Weston to answer your questions about retirement funds, how to save, what accounts to use, and how to think about planning. She's a personal finance columnist and author. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lizzie.
First off, I want to start with this study that says two-thirds of Americans aren't saving enough for a comfortable retirement. Why aren't we doing that? What's wrong with us?
Well, clearly they're not listening to Marketplace Money, because we've been telling you for years, come on, people. There's a couple things going on. One is obviously people are still recovering from the recession. So they're trying to make up for lost ground, trying to pay off that debt. They don't realize that retirement has to be their top priority, that you really can't put it off. The other thing that's going on is that wonderful human optimism we have that somehow something is going to come along and save us. Well, what I'm worried about is these people are going to hit retirement and they're facing what's called a cliff retirement, which means their lifestyle is going to fall off a cliff.
Hmm.
By that time, it's too late. You know, by the time you get into your 50s and 60s, it's going to get really, really hard to catch up, if you even can. So it's really important for people to get an early start. But unfortunately, that message, I guess, is just not getting through.
And getting through early enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got to get those people in their 20s. Come on, guys, get that 401k started. There's a free match most of the time. You're getting a tax break. Just do it. Yes, you have other priorities, but you got to make retirement first.
All right, let's get our first caller on the line. She's Diana, and she is in Colorado. Diana, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, how old you are, and how much you're saving for retirement. Just give us an overall financial picture.
Well, I'm 49, and so far I have $35,000 in retirement. The reason why partially is because I lost quite a bit of income from 2008 to 2012 with the loss of my husband and then caring for and then subsequently losing my mother.
Mm. Oh, I'm so sorry. What's your income picture right now? Are you working?
Well, I was working at a medical device company on a contractual basis, conducting some data mining, but the contract ended last week.
So you are looking at kind of no income right now and this question of looking ahead toward the future. Let me just ask you one question before we get Liz's advice. What do you see your retirement being like? What's your perfect retirement?
Working part-time and focusing more on my hobbies or in volunteering.
Okay. All right. Well, Liz, what are your thoughts for Diana right now?
Well, obviously, if you don't have any income coming in, it's going to be really tough to save, let alone to catch up for all those lost years. When did you lose your husband? How long ago was that?
2008.
Okay, so that's still relatively recent. That hasn't been a long time. Was he a pretty good earner?
Yes.
Okay. One thing you've really got going for you, which will be helpful in retirement, is that you can get benefits based on his earnings record. It's called survivor benefits. And if you wait till your own full retirement age, which is going to be somewhere between 66 and 67, you can get a very nice sum of money. It's essentially 100% of what he would have gotten. So it's a nice benefit for Social Security. So that's something to look forward to. The thing is, though, really, when you're behind in retirement savings, you have to plan to work longer. There's just no way around it. And I love the fact that you're willing to work part-time in retirement. But really, the priority now needs to be landing that next job and putting aside every penny you can. You're kind of the sandwich generation, taking care of your mom. And I know that puts you behind. A lot of people lose a lot of money caretaking older relatives. So you do have time to start, you know, building up that fund, but you really need to get going as soon as you can.
Diana, let me ask you one question. You said you have hobbies that you'd like to spend some time devoting yourself to. Are any of those places where you might be able to find part-time work as well?
Well, actually, I make my own homemade root beer.
Oh, I love root beer.
And I've had over 250 people taste my root beer just at potlucks, barbecues, parties, etc., and not one person has said they didn't like it.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting. It's something you could do on the side, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Once you land that full-time gig, it's always good to think about multiple income streams. You don't want to be too dependent on one source of income. And that's true as you're working. It's also true in retirement. You want to develop those early. And I'm really glad you're thinking about this stuff now, because a lot of people don't even think about it until they're a few years from retirement. And then they'll just go, okay, what am I going to do now?
Diana, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking my call.
You've good luck.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
My guest this hour is personal finance columnist Liz Weston. We're taking your questions about retirement, when to start saving, how to save more, and how to know when you've saved enough. Liz, before we get back to the phones, I want to read you a question we got online. One person writing into us wanted to know, this is Deborah, should she pay off her student debt first or start a retirement account first? This is something a lot of young people, or really anyone who's working right now, wonders about. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's actually a slam dunk. Start that retirement account. I mean, you do have to pay your debt. You can't ignore it. But the fact is that there's no better time to start saving for retirement than in your 20s. You have decades ahead of you for that money to grow. If it's not in there, earning those compounded returns, you know, you're not going to get to the place where you can have some choices with retirement. That's the thing. People think that they can catch up later. It becomes increasingly difficult. If you could start saving maybe 10% in your 20s for retirement, by your 30s, you might have to save 15 or 20%. By your 40s, you might have to save 20 to 25%. Once you're in your 50s, you'd have to save 40% of your income to match what you would have gotten if you just saved 10% starting in your 20s. So start saving, get those company matches, get those tax breaks, make it a pay yourself first kind of proposition, and then work on your debt. So put it in place so that you're saving for retirement first.
You think it's worth it to, say, negotiate a lower payment plan with your loan provider and put a little money away in a retirement account?
If that's what it takes, yes. Extend those, if you have federal student loans especially, get the lower payments by extending it. Now, you can always pay those off early. That doesn't prevent you from doing so. But, you know, you need to get that money into your retirement accounts. I'd say at least 10% more if you can do it. And then use the rest of your money to pay down the debt over time. With student loans, with federal student loans, you're talking about an interest rate of less than 7%. Figure that when you're putting money into your 401k, you're getting a 50 to 100% match for most plans right off the bat. Even if you're not, you're getting a tax break of somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 50%. And then you've got that compounding that we're talking about. So really, it's a slam dunk. Get going on retirement and do the rest of your goals after that.
Let's take another question from a caller. We've got Mike on the line from West Bend, Wisconsin. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell me your situation. I know you've got a bunch of kids. Tell me where you're working, where your retirement money is, and also how old you are.
Okay, I'm 51 years old. I work in the public accounting industry in their finance department. Right now, I've got a retirement fund and a 401k, and it's a managed account. A couple shows ago, I heard a discussion regarding index funds versus managed accounts, their performance, and that really got me interested in, if I chose to go into an index fund, how would I manage that? Would it be one lump sum into a single account, or should I spread that between certain index accounts?
And tell me if I'm right here, your manager's fee is 1.5%, is that correct?
Correct. Yep. Management fee, about 1.5%. And it runs about $4,000 a year or so. So it's kind of significant.
Yeah, you've got about $250,000 in there. You've got a fair amount of money to work with. I can see Liz moving around in her chair. I know she's got opinions. All right, go ahead, Liz.
Is this advisor detailing your car and doing your taxes and making your estate plan?
No, but probably should be, right?
Yes. I am so glad you're thinking about this now, because here's the thing. Those fees will really get you, and I'm sure that's what you heard in the previous program. Your $250,000, if it was left to grow for 30 years, and let's say the general return was 8%, if you were only paying 1% all in, you would have about $2 million after 30 years. If you're paying an extra percent, so, you know, it's reducing your returns by 2%, you would have $500,000 less after 30 years. That's the impact of those fees. And that's why we need to pay attention. You know, the hand-holding might be nice, but I can't see that it's worth it. If all in, your advisor fee and what you're paying for the underlying investments, if that's over 2%, that's a huge red flag. So as a background, what you need to know about index funds, you can learn from John Bogle's book. It's called, I think, The Little Book on Investing. He goes through all the reasons why you want low-cost funds. And John Bogle started Vanguard, which is basically the low-cost leader. So I would go to them or to another discount brokerage that you're comfortable with. Look for target date funds. That's one way to do this. If there's a target date fund that invests in index funds, keeps the cost low, that's kind of a no-brainer way to do it. They do all the heavy lifting. They pick the investments. They rebalance over time. Boom. You don't have to worry about it. If you want to do it yourself, you might go to a fee-only planner. You know, pay a couple $100 to come back with a plan for exactly which funds to be invested in. Because basically what you want to do is have the majority of your money in a stock index fund that does a broad match of the market. And then you want a little bit of money in bonds and cash. Again, they're index funds. They just try to match the market. They don't try to beat it. You know, you can pay like less than 1/5 of 1% to get one of those stock index funds. And that's really where you want to be. Don't try to beat the market. Just try to match it.
Mike, do you have more questions for Liz about what you should do with your money or the next steps you should be taking?
Yeah, I mean, do you move all of that money into all at once, or would you do it over a certain period of time?
You can do it either way. For me, I would get away from those fees as quickly as possible. That's just my orientation and get going. But if you need a little hand-holding doing this, honestly, a couple $100 spent with a fee-only planner. There's
okay.
A group called the Garrett Planning Network. They charge by the hour.
Sure.
Just to get a roadmap so you can feel more comfortable. Because, you know, that advisor gave you the comfort level of, okay, we're taking care of all of this. Sometimes
right.
Stepping out on your own is a little scary. So it's nice to have that bridge. And also, you need to have a relationship with a financial planner anyway. When you get close to retirement, there's going to be a lot of decisions that you have to make that are basically irreversible. So you want somebody definitely to hold your hand through that.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you so much for listening. It sounds like you're a continuous listener, and we love that. Good
all
luck
right.
to you,
thanks.
Man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Liz, we're gonna turn to Heidi now. She is in San Jose, California. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
So we've been asking people to talk about their situation and their retirement goals. I know you've got some kids, younger kids, and tell me about where you're saving and then kind of what you want to do once your kids are out of the nest.
Well, I am 44, and my husband is just in his early 50s. We have two young kids. One is almost 4 and the other is 5.5. And we are trying to save. What we have in like 401ks and 403bs is not substantial. We have about $20,000 there. And I've been saving in a money market account for things like property taxes and extra stuff. And my real question is, well, in addition to that, is my kids are growing out of daycare, and so I'm going to end up saving about $1,400 a month in the next year or two, about $600 this year, and about in a couple of years, it'll be about $1,400.
That's
and
great.
I'm just wondering, what's the best way to handle that? I'm wondering if I can sort of, they can't really make it up, but sort of make up time. Should I be investing in a Roth or, you know, doing, you know, 403B or whatever, you know, I just don't know what to do. I know we're terribly behind in some ways. We have an emergency fund, which we've been really good about. My husband really wants to do something with like an IRA real estate, turn into real
yeah.
estate.
Okay.
He thinks it's more substantial than than the stock market itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I support your concern about real estate. I mean, you just have to watch what's happened nationally. And in California, we've had a few real estate recessions. So it's not a slam dunk. And something people don't seem to realize is that residential real estate has a return about equal to the rate of inflation. And if you factor in the money you pay for maintenance and repairs and all those other things, some people make a go of it. Some people do really well. But if you want to be a landlord, you have to think about, do you really want people calling you at 3:00 in the morning? You know, when their sewage backs up into their shower. Or, you know, do you want to have a property manager? Then you have to think about, are you going to be able to diversify those real estate investments? Are you going to be able to buy enough in different states? I mean, you really shouldn't have all your real estate in one place. So that's a concern. Not that real estate's a bad investment, but I would say, first of all, you got to look at taking maximum advantage of those retirement plans. Because again, you get those lovely tax breaks. You're in California, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we have high tax rates here. You want as many tax breaks as you can get. Those 403Bs, 401Ks, whatever, you know, tax-deferred retirement you've got, take advantage of. You probably will have additional money that you can, beyond the match, where you could put it into a Roth IRA. And that way you have money in different buckets. You have one that's going to be taxed in retirement, one that's not. So I always recommend that.
So you think she should split it up a little bit?
Well, yeah. Generally, we tell people, do you have a match in your 403B? I should have asked that first.
No, I don't. And neither does he. Okay. He's self-employed, and so his 401K rolled into an IRA, and my 403B is not matched.
Okay. With the self-employment, really quick, go to a CPA, talk about your options, because you have some lovely ones. When you are self-employed, you have more options than when you are a W-2. So,
and
go to
Heidi,
the CPA.
What do you do?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
Oh,
okay.
Do you have a teacher's pension? Are you a public school teacher?
Yes.
Yay.
I am.
Okay. All right. Good. That's really going to help you because, yes, you are saving for retirement, but teacher's pensions can be really nice. So,
I'm hoping that'll help.
Yeah. No. Definitely. And talk to your union or talk to the CalSTRS about what you can expect because I think that will put your mind a bit at ease. But still, I would get that going with the saving for retirement. That's absolutely where I'd put the money. And I don't know if you heard our previous conversation, but the deal is that you need inflation beating growth. I mean, inflation, even if it just stays at 3%, is going to cut your buying power in half. So it will take you $2 to buy what $1 buys you today. The only way to overcome that historically has been by investing in the stock market. So learn a little bit about it so you get more comfortable. But really, for long-term investing, that's the way to go. And there's something about being in your 40s. You know how fast 20 years goes.
I know. I'm getting a little nervous, actually.
Exactly. This is when it hits. It's like, oh, my God, in 20 years, I'm going to be 64. What am I doing?
Well, I've been thinking about it, actually, since my early 30s. But
good.
With the kids and everything, it's just so much has been going out the door. There's just not been a lot extra other than, you know, we've been able to tuck away for emergencies and things that we could see really, like, immediate.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Heidi, I have one question for you. When you and your husband talk about retirement, what do you say to one another? What do you envision together?
We would just like to live comfortably and be able to travel on occasion. And when we talk about these things, I think I'm a little bit more concerned about it than he is. I think that he feels that it'll work out. We're just, you know, we're going to make this plan. And I'm kind of like, what's the plan?
Yeah.
I need to know this plan. And he's like, well, we're going to work on it and we could do this or we could do that. And I'm like, okay, I need the plan.
Yeah.
And he's really supportive. I think we're both on the same page. It's just, I think that we're coming and we're very fortunate in that we agree on a lot of things in our lives, but I think I'm a little bit more nervous about it than he is.
Well, and you can be the driver then. You can be the one that says, okay, this is what we've got to do. Usually there is one in a couple, one that's a little more concerned about this stuff and gets it going. So I'm really glad you're thinking about it. This is the time to do it. And again, self-employment is great for retirement planning because there's a lot of different options. So he should be taking advantage of that as well. And I just want to mention that you got two kids to educate or three?
Two.
Okay. When you are on track for retirement, then think about putting aside some money for college savings, like a 529. But make sure you're on track for retirement first.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
I so appreciate your help.
Of course. Thank you for calling, Heidi.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Liz Weston is with us today, answering your questions about retirement. And our last caller, Liz, is Bob. He is in Chico, California. He retired about 4 years ago. Congrats, Bob. What did you do before you retired? How old are you? And what are you living off of now?
The whole thing. Okay, I was a school custodian, and so I have PERS and Social Security, and it amounts to about the same thing I made when I was working.
Nice.
That's great.
Well done.
And I'm 66.
Okay. And how long have you been retired?
4 years.
Okay. But you have some. You said you have some savings as well?
Oh, maybe $100,000.
Oh, okay. Wow. Nice. So what's your question?
My question is, when I was working, payroll removed 40% of my check.
Ah.
And everything was done automatically for me.
Yeah.
That included a 403B. Now that I'm retired, I only 10% of my check covers those same obligations.
Okay.
So what do I do with the difference?
So money is piling up on you, huh?
It piles up on me. The first couple of years, I took it out and bought a deferred annuity,
uh-huh.
and that's part of that $100,000.
Okay.
And then the next time it piled up, I bought a car.
Okay.
And then this time, I thought I'd call you.
I love the, your problems. They are problems that
these
people would love to
have. These are good problems to have.
Yes. And I want to make the point that, you know, you've been living on 60% of your income, basically your whole working life. And if more people did that, retirement would be a heck of a lot easier. You know, you would easily go from working life to retired life, and you wouldn't have that big drop in income. So because you have those lovely pensions that are index to inflation, you know, you don't have to take the same risk that people who don't have those options do. So if you don't want to invest in the stock market, you know, I might still have a few investments there just to make sure that you have money down the road. But really what I would take some of the money that you've got and go talk to a financial planner, those fee-only planners I keep talking about, because they can help you kind of work out what you want your retirement to look like, what you need in terms of money to cover long-term care. Do you have kids?
Me, my insurance rep is trying to tell me I should put some of it into long-term care.
Maybe that's the case. The older you get, the more expensive it is. But since it's just you, that's something, again, I would go through a fee-only financial planner first, somebody who can look over the possibilities and give you some advice about the way to go, because long-term care is complicated. They've had a history of raising premiums on people, so you really want to make sure that what you're getting into is something that's sustainable. And that's the kind of thing that most of us need help with. We need an expert to walk us through it.
But it'd just be a decision of how do I want to spend that much money?
That's the thing. And there's different possibilities. You can pay a monthly payment. You can buy a life insurance policy that has a long-term care rider. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And, you know, you may decide, no, that's not what I want to do. I can just spend down my money and wind up on Medicaid, essentially, and let them pay for it. So it's, you know, if you want home care, if you want higher quality care, then investing in long-term care insurance might be the way to go. If you think, I'm not going to be cognizant anyway, what do I care? Maybe you want to do the Medi-Cal route. So it's, you know, there's a lot of questions and a lot of things that you need to discuss. And again, it really helps to have an expert who's been through this, who can kind of, you know, cut down the weeds for you and show you where the path is.
Okay, you don't have an easy answer.
No easy answer. So, I mean, it's lovely that you have all this money. I'd say travel more and, you know, give it away and do great things. But that this is one area that you probably want to take a look at that might be worth some money.
Okay.
What do you know now about retirement, now that you're on the other side of it, that maybe you wish you knew 20 years ago or you wish other people knew?
Well, it's great.
That's good to hear.
What can I say? just like everybody told me, you know, do it as soon as you can.
Yep. Okay.
And you clearly followed those instructions because you've got the room booth. I hope you have lots of really cool, fun adventures planned.
Well, not too many planned, but I've had a lot of adventures.
Good. All right. I really appreciate your calling. Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay. Thank you.
Personal finance columnist Liz Weston is the author of several books, including her latest, The 10 Commandments of Money, Survive and Thrive in the New Economy. Liz, thank you so much for answering all these questions.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Lizzie.
Make sure you're on the right path to retirement. We have tips for every age at marketplacemoney.org. And tell us about your retirement dreams on our Facebook page.